I like having church. Isn't this what church is supposed to be? About raising up and releasing people, dedicating others, and just changing the world. Well, we'll read from here. Every person in here, your calling is powerful. It's mighty. Wherever Tommy goes, we expect lives to be changed. Wherever you walk, we expect lives to be changed. Al and Brenda over there, how many years you've been married, Brenda? 54 years of marriage. And we know being married to Big Al is marital bliss, right, Miss Brenda? And they've walked with the Lord all the way through. And Miss Brenda still serves at the food pantry down at the high rise. Her and Miss Emma, they work tirelessly, and they're still serving and sowing into people's lives. They're not giving up. They're not quitting. They're not saying, oh, nope, I can't. I just want to sit back and play golf. You know the definition of scratch golf? That's when you shoot like par. They call it scratch golf. You know what the definition of scratch golf is? A wasted life. Because you spent your whole time on a golf course hitting a little white ball into a cup, and God called us to change the world. Amen? Now, I love golf. I love golfing. I've done it once this year. I'm very good at it. In my mind. But I want you to know your calling is very, very powerful, and it's needed at this time and season. It's needed now. Ladies, your calling is powerful. You've been rocking that cradle for a long time, and there's a lot of other people out there, a lot of other young women that have never had their cradle rocked. They were cast aside. They were cast down. They were just let loose to do whatever they want to do. I was down here with some of the gentlemen on Wednesday night. We went out witnessing on the street, and they were shooting basketball, and I just joined in them, shot a little basketball with them, just getting to know them. Got another lady down there on the bottom of Columbia. I don't know where she's from, but when I'm out my prayer walk on Sunday morning, she's out there. I'm winning her to Christ. Because every Sunday morning, I'm going back around that same block, and I'm looking for her, and I'm waiting for her to come out. She takes care of her vegetables, and I just tell her about the things of God and just encourage her. And then she's always very kind and polite. Listen, it's about taking your gift and making it work. It's about taking your gift, or so it should say, allowing it to work. See, God's already placed that gift on the inside of you, and it's allowing it. Listen, if you're a musician and you're not using it for the Lord, what do we use? What's the gift for? What's its purpose? Is it just because of you? It's because what you want to do? That gift has to be used for the glory of God. Tommy can build whatever. He's been working with Peter Rowe for years. Peter, phenomenal carpenter. There's nothing that Tommy can't go out there and help with and serve. But the more important thing is what his father taught him every day before they went to school, and that was the Word of God, how to pray and what the Word of God means, so that when he preaches, they get taken from darkness into his marvelous light. That's the biggest issue. What he can build with his hands, that'll be destroyed shortly. All right, look at every one of our houses. How much money have you put into it? It's a money pit. And you bought it from somebody else, or maybe you built it, and you can't stop putting money into it. Those things all disappear. But an eternal life? Oh, that's beautiful. That's powerful. It's glorious. It's mighty. And one of the issues in everybody's mind is what you think of yourself. You know what, I'll encourage you. You don't have a right to dictate who you are. Not one person in here has a right to dictate who you are. One person dictates who you are, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One person decided what you should be doing with your life, and that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You call him by 1,000 names, we sang, right? I call you by 1,000 names. By 1,000 of them. But the greatest one is Lord. Because when he becomes Lord, then your gift is expressed on the planet. And he's glorified by his sons and daughters. But if he is not Lord, then you will limit him with the gift that you have. Each one of us will, and we'll keep it to ourselves, and we will say, I can't because of someone else. You know, we said it last week. You cannot allow what others do to affect what I was made to do. You cannot allow what anyone else does to affect what you were called to do. I know you didn't have a perfect upbringing. My kids did, but I know most of you didn't. None of us had a perfect upbringing. But no matter what happened, no matter who it was, no one else dictates what you were called to do. Only God himself through the power of his word. His Holy Ghost has trained you and equipped you. It's taught you, and he wants to lead. And the church has got to get to a place where we allow God to lead. Amen? Well, we're going to pick it up next week. But in Luke chapter 4, verses 24 to 27. He said, truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his own hometown. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. What? You're not... The people that are around you, because of the familiarity, they don't receive from you a lot of times. They know where you came from. They know what you did. They saw you before and they watched your actions. But I want you to know God's greater than your yesterday's actions. He's greater than your yesteryear mistakes. But he said, truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Neither of the people that the prophet went to discerned the gift of God that was sent to them. Neither one of them discerned the gift, and you can tell by their responses. Because what did the woman said? I don't even have enough for me. How many people in the world now, how many people in America, I only care about me, I only have enough for me. They didn't discern the gift. People won't discern the gift that's inside of you. Many of the people that know you won't discern it. You discern the gift by people that have come here that we brought in, like Charlie Sweet, who's a prophet. We say he's a prophet. He comes in. Where does he reign from? Out in the western part of New York. But you don't know his past. You don't know his history. But when he comes, you receive him as that gift. Therefore, our hearts are open and we're willing to surrender to what the word is spoken through the word of God. But I'm telling you, your gift, a lot of people will not recognize your gift inside of you. Some people you've been talking to for years, and they don't listen, or at least you don't think so. But I want you to know, don't stop utilizing your gift where you're at. They did not recognize it. Do you recognize your gift before God in your house? When you look into the mirror, do you see that gift that God has deposited in you, that anointing that God has placed on the inside of you to change people's lives? Or when we look into the mirror, do we say, oh yeah, I don't see that, I only have enough for me? Or as Naaman, it says that he just got furious when the prophet told him what to do. He wanted nothing to do with it. He said, go down there and dip into Jordan a few times and you'll be healed. I'm not dipping into Jordan. I'll do it my... You come over here and you wave your hand over top of me. You tell him... He sent his servant, right? You tell him to come over. He should wave his hand over me and heal me. No, I want you to go to the river. He was furious. So many times in our lives, there's gifts around us. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a gift to you. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm an incredible gift to you. You are... Everyone in here is an incredible gift to everyone else that's here. Because you, tell your neighbor, say, you strengthen me. You see, that's what happens when we walk together. We're strong when we walk together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We get stronger with one another. Why? Because where one puts 1,000, two put 10,000. Why is marriage such a powerful entity on the planet and the devil's trying to tear it apart? Because two put 10,000 to flee. Why is marriage such a place that the enemy attacks over and over and over? And these silly people that are in government are trying to redefine what God said would destroy all the works of the enemy. He said, there's nothing you can't do. Nothing. He said, when you get married, it's a reflection. As we were at the wedding yesterday of Jake and Molly, they got married. It was just beautiful. And Jake up there standing, just crying when she came up the aisle. And I just think about how God sees each one of us when one walks up the aisle and says, I believe. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. How the Father's heart is overwhelmed with joy that another one of his sons or daughters have come home. How powerful a time. How powerful a picture. And then when two raised in the house of God get married and they come forward and the two become one, and yet now they're twice as strong, destroying the works of the enemy. Destroying the works. That's what their focus is. To give God glory and destroy the works of the enemy in every life they come in contact with. Because now we know that nothing will be impossible. Why? Because they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, no matter where they walk, like Tommy's provision, Tommy doesn't have to worry about his provision. Listen, if you feel like you want to stick 20 bucks in his pocket, I'm sure he would love it. But he didn't come up here and say, hey, can everybody send me? You see, because when God wants to do something, he wants you to do something, he's the one that provides. And when we start to take all the money, oh, all my friends are going out, not me, boom. Not me, boom. Oh, I want to go, I want ice cream again, not me, boom. And we start putting that money aside. Why? So that the call of God is released in each one of our lives. He always supplies, amen? He always does, beautifully above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. He's an amazing Father. Isn't it amazing how when the widow discerned the gift of God in the prophet, she brought everything and did everything that he said, and she received a reward. And though even though Naaman refused at first, eventually someone else, other than the prophet, had to come and agree with the prophet. His servant came and talked him into doing what he was supposed to do. You see, everyone in this room, you're the servant of God. And when people come into this house and you see the gift of God in them, sometimes God's already spoken to them about their gift, but he needs one of his servants to go and remind them of the gift. He needs each one of us to help stir up the gift in one another. Amen? Needs each one of us to say, hey, remember the gift. You see, all the days of Charlotte's life, no matter where she goes, I will always remind Sam and Jen until Charlotte's old enough to say, I remember the day that you were dedicated to be a gift to the kingdom of God. Stir up that gift, Charlotte. Stir it up. Don't ever forget it. God placed it upon your life. That's what we do. Stirring up the gift inside of each one of us. Everyone here, how about building up, stirring up, strengthening, encouraging, getting words for one another and saying, hey, listen, I was praying last night for you. Oh, that the body of Christ would come together and each one would share with someone else in the house. Not just from here, but from each area of the house. Even the young ones downstairs. How many times have they spoken the words or life into someone else's life? Those little ones downstairs come up and I was thinking, I was praying. This is what God spoke. It's like, where'd you get that from? Our kids have done it many times. Mike would say, Dad, I was thinking. You knew? You better get ready. Because he was really thinking about it. And so as that gift, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because we know the greatest gift that was given to each one of us, and he's the one that deposited inside of us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 30, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 30. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks." So, you know, as you walk out your life and you know that that gift needs to be expressed, here Jesus is, when he received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, he went out and he blessed. When he was betrayed, he blessed. And so as you walk in your gift, when you step out in it, sometimes you're going to get betrayed or you're going to feel betrayed. It's part of God's plan. He wants to see if you're going to bless in the midst of a tough situation. Maybe your marriage isn't perfect. Are you going to bless in the midst of a tough situation? Maybe one of your children are going astray. You're going to have to bless in the midst of a tough situation when it seems darkest. That's what Jesus did. He knew what was coming. He knew where he was going. And yet he blessed with the enemy that was sending them to the cross in the room. He blessed him that night. Everything that was there. And he allowed him to partake with him in communion, knowing what he was getting ready to do because of the gift inside of him, the Savior of the world. And then he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "In the same way that he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat it and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and to drink of the cup. And he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly or discern rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." You know, in that word discern, it's all the derivatives in the translation of the Greek, it's anakarino in the New Testament, it means to distinguish. So before we take communion, you're going to have to distinguish something. It also means to separate out by diligent search. And this is a time about searching your heart. This is not some ritual that we do. So many times, people just go through the ritual. They don't think about this moment. All they do is just go through the motions. They wait till I'm done praying. They eat the bread and they drink the drink. But that's not what Jesus wanted us to do. He said, I need you to discern where you're at right now. We need to discern where America is at right now. Because if you're not discerning what's going on in America and you think that it's still 1987, you're confused. But we need to be those men and women that discern what's going on in the world today. But he said that if you don't discern rightly or judge rightly, now we know that we've already been judged, amen? And we've already been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I believe that each one of us have areas that God still is putting his finger on. And he said, "I need you to think about this." Sometimes it's something so small as going and repenting to someone. Sometimes it's so small that it's stopping something silly or remembering something that he's called you to do. Maybe it's been a while since you've gotten up early and spent time in the Word. And I guarantee you the Spirit of God is drawing you every morning. He never stops drawing his sons and daughters to the Word of God every morning. Maybe it's something so simple as that, getting up a little bit earlier and getting back in the Word or getting back in prayer. But he said, we need to judge the body rightly. And that word discern, not only to separate, but it means to examine. So this is a time of self-examination. Every time we get before the Lord, because we're going to stand before him all by ourselves, amen? There'll be nobody else there with you. And so this is self-examination, and we can make a nice show of things, right? The wedding yesterday. Yeah, I better have one there, brother. Can you hook a brother up? All right. Oh. Thank you. But it's a self-examination time. And he said, he who eats and drinks judgment, or he, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge or discern rightly. Look, there's going to be a time when we stand before the Lord, when you're all by yourself and there's no one else around. When we stood there yesterday and watched the wedding party come up, all dressed perfectly, right? They all match. The bride and the groom, everything looks perfect. And a lot of times we dress that way when we come before one another. We make sure that we look and act just right in the church, in the body of Christ. But there's things that are inside of us that we're struggling with, that we haven't discerned, that we're struggling with day in and day out. God wants to take that stuff from us. We don't want you looking just perfect, all dressed up, and then leaving the same way. We want to make sure that every single one that walks out of here is free indeed in the name of Jesus. But in order to do this, we've got to discern rightly. Discernment is the ability to properly disseminate or make determinations. You're going to have to determine, am I a child of God or am I going to do things my way? Am I going to walk in the light or am I going to walk in darkness? And every one of us gets to make that decision this morning. It's also related to wisdom, right? The word of God is itself, in itself is said to discern the thoughts and intentions of one's heart in Hebrews. The heart, the innermost sanctum of your life, this is what God is looking at right now. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. This is not some in the world, they've made a mockery of this, and we've seen that on television, where the big deal about I should be able to take communion no matter what I say, do, believe, or how I act, you just do your job and give me communion. Otherwise, they're punished for standing on the promises of God. Because some, no matter how intellectual they are, have no idea how to rightly discern the body of Christ. No matter what denomination they're in, they don't know how to rightly discern the word of God. And so therefore, they think it's just a practice to show that I'm devout. This is how they try to prescribe it on the world stage. He said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so as we come and we take of this juice and the cracker representing the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants you to look at it through the eyes of the Spirit because your inheritance has already been made complete, right? Are we rightly discerning the power of God in our lives? Do you believe that laying on of hands, you're going to have to spiritually discern that to believe that one, amen? You're not going to do that in the natural man. The natural man's going to say, right, now have a good day. I'm going to the doctor. And I'm going to allow him to practice his medicine on me. Poke me and jab me and cut me and try all of his wonderful ways to try to see if he can't assist God in healing me. Because that's all they can do. But you see, when we start to spiritually discern the word of God says that we would lay hands on the sick, what happens? They recover, right? So we're going to have to discern whether we're going to walk according to the word of God or we're going to walk according to the word of man. With your finances, you have to decide, is it my finances or are they God's, everything that I possess? See, we're going to have to discern the body rightly, the scripture says. Because the only way to destroy greed is to give according to the word of God. See, so when we look at our lives, we're going to have to discern, did you inherit divine love from the Father where that blood washed away all of your sins? Or when you get up in the morning, are you looking at your life and saying, I'm no good, I'm a failure? Because if you do, you're not rightly discerning the body of Christ. He didn't come and shed his blood so you could walk around feeling like a failure. He came and he shed his blood so you'd have life and life more abundantly. Yeah. He came and he shed his blood so that you would walk in your freedom, so that every time you walk out of your house, I'm a child of God. I've been made whole. I've been set free. And somebody else is going to hear of how madly in love God is with me. Because when you're in love, it's easy. When you're in love, it's so easy to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I really want to encourage you. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. And to rightly discern Is there an area that you've been holding back? Is there something that the Holy Spirit has asked you to do? And just like Tommy got up and said earlier, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe it sounds crazy to other people, but I've got to do this. I've got to run off to Africa. I got to go there and preach the word of God. I don't know what's going to happen to me in them 2 weeks, what God's going to speak to me, or what's going to transpire, but I know I have to go serve him in Africa. But it's a little scary. Maybe it's you and there's something that God's asking you to give up, but it's a little bit scary. Whether it's a spirit of fear, because God didn't give it to you. And this morning, if you're walking in fear, then you're not rightly discerning the body of Christ. Because God said that I have not given that to you. You have authority over that and get rid of it. And then agree with my word and walk in my freedom. What is it? Is there unforgiveness? If there's unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, please don't take this morning. The scripture says if you've got a problem with a brother or a sister, go to them. Go to them and repent. Release it before you take of this. His desire is that we would, through diligent search in our hearts, examine our hearts before him. You have been called sons and daughters of God. You are the ones that are to discern what's going on in other lives. But we've got to be able to discern what's going on in ours. And we've got to release that which has been controlling so that the only way that we walk is according to the word of God. He already has discerned the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He's already done it. He already knows what he's been speaking to you. And your potential cannot be based on your opinion of you. It has to be according to the word of God. He said, this is a new covenant in the Spirit. This new covenant is not by works that any man should boast. This new covenant is an issue of the heart. It's a desire to live in such a way that our desire is just so the message gets out. Just so the word of God is seen. Those who walk in freedom have no problem sharing the love of God. Those who walk in bondage of another man or woman's opinion struggle with sharing the word of God. God said, I want to remove that. I want you to see that maybe you've placed man's opinion a little higher than mine. We've got to rightly discern what the Holy Spirit is dealing with us today. So this morning, as we just sit in his presence for a moment, this is your time with him. We've lifted up Charlotte before him. We've released Tommy unto him. Now it's your turn to step in with him. Listen to him. And then agree with what he's leading you to do. Whatever it is. He said, don't get distracted. And whatever it is that he's dealing with us in right now, each one of us, write it down and accomplish that task. Write it down and accomplish it. He wants to remove it. He wants to give it to you. He wants to change things. He wants to prepare you for greater things. But he wants to know if you're going to listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Discerning the body correctly. Father, today as we take of this bread, we're reminded, we're remembering, we're putting back together Oh, there's many things that come up in our lives every day. But Father, right now we're setting them all aside and saying that we'll search after the greatest of these. We'll walk in the hand of Him who leads us beside the still waters and the green pastures and through the storms. We'll remember we're coming back together, laying aside the cares of this world, preparing our hearts for harvest, preparing our hearts for the call, preparing our hearts for the gift to be expressed and released through us, because Your body has been given to each one that would call on Your name. And our entire inheritance begins at this point right here, right now. It begins at the body that was given, the stripes that You bore for each and every one of us. So, Father, we do this in remembrance of the victory that You wrought at Calvary. Whereas we sang earlier, the first Adam, he failed. The second Adam, oh, he was raised triumphant, destroying the works of the enemy. Father, we thank You for this body. And we thank You for this new covenant that You have made with each one of us. Today, we re-engage in that covenant, making that covenant the most important part of our lives. All these other things that the world runs after, forgive us, Father, for allowing it to catch our eye, so that we would see You and You alone. Thank You for the plan that You had before the world was formed, the plan that You brought to fruition in each one of us, and that plan that we're going to walk out in this new covenant made by the King of Glory. Oh. Thank You for it, Father. And today we do this in remembrance of You. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, as we take the cup today, whatever it is, Lord, that was holding each one of us back, maybe it was just a distraction. Maybe it was something from 20 years ago. Whatever You were putting Your finger on. Lord, that fear, oh, this blood conquers that. The lack inside of each one, oh, this blood, that conquers that. Because this blood allows us to see in the spirit realm. This blood opens up eternity for each and every one of us. This blood brings us to a higher plane where no matter what, we know the miraculous happens every day, whether we see it or believe it or not. This blood prepares a way for each one of us to walk with power and authority. This blood brings us to a place where no longer are we distracted. No longer are we bound by the laws of this world, but we live in the freedom of eternity. Father, we thank You today for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Lord, every thought that's not of You, let it be washed away as we partake. Every desire that's not of You, Father, wash it away this morning. Father, every hindrance that's in our lives, help us to expose it and see what Your word says and then defeat it every single time. Thank You for the power of Your word that allows us to see clearly. Today, this blood separates us for eternity, all the days that we walk here. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's just pray one more time. We'll close. The ushers will grab the cups in a minute. Just hang on them. Father, I thank You for the body of Christ today. I thank You for, Lord, allowing us to see another one of Your creations, to celebrate yesterday, two lives coming together, to watch Tommy as he steps out as a man of God to that next horizon, one that's filled with awe and wonder. Lord, for each gift inside of here in this house, Lord, I thank You that we get to see it expressed in the lives of your sons and daughters. And so, Lord, today, even though some, maybe there hasn't been those that have noticed the gift, Lord, I pray that each one would express the gift, no matter if anyone else notices, because we know that you do. And Lord, we know that when that gift is expressed, that hearts will be changed. Father, let us not be those that revile against it, but no matter what you speak this morning or have spoken already, whether it's to go down and dip themselves into Jordan three times, that it would be a quick work, that we would just say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. That if it would be, bring everything you got and give it to me, Father, that we would work quickly at it. Very quickly. And Lord, that when we walk out of here, our hearts knit, believing the best in one another because you've done the work in each one of us. And you continue to work through each one of us. Father, knit our hearts, knit our lives. And again, where two or more are gathered, Father, your presence just goes before them. It overwhelms. When we go to restaurants, it overwhelms those that are around us. Whatever organization we walk into, the light starts to overwhelm the darkness and drive it out. It's part of the inheritance that you have given us, that you go before us. And Father, I thank you that my family, the family of God at Rock Solid Church, each one has been called. Each one has been a gift infused into them. Each one has a talent to be used by you. Each one makes a decision to give you the glory with their lives. Each one. And this morning, before we close in prayer, if there's anyone here that never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, if you're here this morning and you don't know the freedom that that blood brings, the freedom that that new covenant brings, the freedom from fear, the freedom from oppression, the freedom that brings us to a place where no matter what's happened to you, you can forgive, the freedom to find joy in the house, the freedom to live beyond the pale of mere man's opinion, the freedom to love unconditionally and to be loved by the King of Glory unconditionally. If that's you this morning, you've never accepted him, we're going to pray and give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. So let's join together, church, and say, Father, we come before you this morning. We ask you to come into our lives. We repent. We turn from the way that we were living. We look to you from now on as our Lord and my Savior. I surrender who I am to you alone. And I thank you that because of your word, I agree every curse is broken in Jesus' name. You are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, this morning, if that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, please don't leave without seeing us. Because I want you to know there's something incredible that he has for you. And for the rest of you, it's a new covenant that you're in. It's brand new. It's powerful. It's mighty. And there's nothing impossible for you. Whatever the Holy Spirit said, I got my finger on this and I need more from you. We got to release this. Release it and let's get on with it. Because there's more that he's got for each one of us. God bless you and have an amazing Sunday.